This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. When to anchor and when to wait. The anchoring decision that shapes every negotiation outcome. In short, anchoring in negotiation gives you control of the range before the conversation fully begins. The side that sets the first number almost always shapes where the final agreement lands. Anchor first when you have done your research and hold more information than the other side. Wait when you lack market data or when the other side's opening number will teach you something valuable. Always attach a brief rationale to your anchor so it reads as reasoned, not arbitrary. Definition: anchoring in negotiation is the act of placing the first number or position on the table to establish a reference point that pulls the final outcome toward your side. Every offer and counteroffer that follows will be influenced by that initial figure, whether either party intends it or not. I watched a colleague walk into a salary review once, prepared and confident, and then make one small error. She waited. She let the manager name a number first. The figure was lower than anything she had considered, and from that moment forward the entire conversation was a battle to drag the outcome upward from a starting point she had never agreed to. She left with more than the opening offer, but far less than she had prepared to ask for. The anchor had done its work before she said a single word. That is the power of anchoring in negotiation. It is not a trick. It is a structural reality. Whoever places the first number defines the gravitational center of the conversation. What most people get wrong is not the anchor itself. It is the timing. They anchor when they should wait, or they wait when they should anchor. And by the time they realize the mistake, the range has already been set by someone else. This article will give you a clear process for making the decision correctly every time. Why the anchoring decision is genuinely difficult. The temptation is to believe that anchoring first is always the stronger move. It often is, but not always. And applying the rule without reading the situation is how otherwise prepared people end up anchoring badly or anchoring blind. The real difficulty is that you are making a decision under uncertainty, usually quickly, with incomplete information. You do not always know what the other side knows. You do not always know whether your research has prepared you accurately. And you cannot always predict whether an aggressive opening position will signal strength or invite the other person to walk away entirely. There's also an emotional pull toward waiting. Naming a number first feels exposed. It feels like you're handing the other person something to push against. That instinct is not wrong. It is just incomplete. Waiting has its own costs. And understanding those costs is what makes the timing decision a real skill rather than a coin flip. What you must know before you anchor. Before you decide whether to go first or wait, you need three things in place. Without them, the decision is guesswork. Your target and your floor. Know the number you genuinely want to reach, and know the lowest or highest point you will accept before you walk away. This is your range. Your anchor will sit above your target, not at it, because the other side will move you. If you anchor at your target, you have nowhere left to go. Your market data. What does this agreement look like when it goes well for someone in your position? What do comparable salaries, project fees, or contract terms actually look like in the real world? Without this, you are anchoring on instinct, and instinct tends to anchor too low when you are nervous. The information gap. Ask yourself honestly, does the other side know more than you do right now? If they do, waiting may serve you. If you know more, or if your preparation is solid, anchoring first is almost always the right call. If you're still building your preparation, it is worth reading about how tension in a conversation can cloud your thinking. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations is one tool I point people to before any high-stakes exchange. The anchoring decision. A step-by-step process. This is the process I have refined over decades of watching negotiations go well and watching them collapse. Follow these steps in order. Number 1. Run your preparation audit. Before the conversation begins, rate your preparation honestly. Do you have market data? Do you know your range? Have you stress-tested your anchor number against what the other side might know?
If two of those three are solid, you are ready to anchor first. If fewer than two are solid, gather more information before you commit to going first.
Number 2. Assess the information asymmetry. Ask yourself what the other side is likely to know that you do not. In a salary negotiation, does the employer know the full budget for the role? In a project fee discussion, does the client know what others charge?
If their information is likely to be richer than yours, consider waiting. Their opening number will teach you something. If your preparation is equal or stronger, anchor first.
Number 3.
Set your anchor above your target. Your anchor should sit at the top of the plausible range, not beyond it. If your genuine target is £65,000, do not anchor at £65,000. Anchor at £70,000, £2,000 or £74,000, a number that is ambitious, but defensible.
You need room to move, because the other person will expect concessions. If you start at your ceiling, you have already lost that room.
Number 4. Attach a rationale, always. A naked number invites suspicion. A number with a reason invites conversation.
See,
based on what similar roles are paying in this sector right now, and given the specific scope of this position, I'm looking at £74,000.
You have named the number, and you have given the other person something to engage with rather than simply reject.
The rationale does not need to be long. One sentence is enough.
Number 5. Deliver the anchor and go quiet.
This is where most people undo all their preparation. They name the number, feel the silence, and start talking to fill it. They soften the anchor, qualify it, invite the other person to push back.
Do not do this.
Name the number, give the rationale, and stop.
The silence belongs to the other person now.
Let them fill it.
Number 6.
Calibrate your response to their counter. When they respond, notice whether they're engaging with your number or trying to replace it entirely with a new anchor of their own. If they counter with a low number and present it firmly, do not let it become the new center without a fight. Restate your position.
I hear you.
I want to come back to the range I described because I think it reflects the market accurately. Your anchor is still live until you choose to move it.
Number 7. Move in deliberate, shrinking increments.
When you do concede, make smaller moves each time. Moving from £74,000 to £70,000 to £68,500 to £67,500 signals that you're approaching your limit. Each smaller move tells the other person that the well is nearly dry. If you make large, even concessions, you signal that there is more room left, and they will keep pushing.
When their anchor lands first.
Sometimes the other side anchors before you're ready, or before you have decided whether to go first.
This happens.
The question is what you do next.
Do not accept the frame. This is the single most important thing I can tell you.
When someone places a low anchor, your instinct might be to negotiate from it, to try to move it upward by degrees.
That is exactly what the anchor is designed to make you do. Instead, name it directly. That number is quite a distance from where I am.
Let me tell you what I'm working with. Then place your own counter anchor based on your research, not as a direct response to their number, but as an independent position grounded in your own preparation.
You are not counter-offering. You are recentering the conversation around a different reference point.
This matters more than it sounds.
If you counter-offer, you're still inside their frame.
If you introduce a new anchor, you have created a different center of gravity for the negotiation to move toward.
If the conversation ever becomes heated rather than productive, the techniques in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings can help you hold your ground without the exchange becoming adversarial.
A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you.
Get your copy at imonblickthorne.com.
Now, back to the article. Where anchoring goes wrong.
These are the four mistakes I see most reliably, and each has a direct correction.
The mistake:
anchoring at your target instead of above it.
Why it happens.
People fear being seen as greedy or unrealistic, so they open with what they actually want.
What to do instead?
Add 10, 15% above your target as your opening anchor. You will be moved, and you need the room.
The mistake:
anchoring without preparation, on instinct or nerves.
Why it happens?
The conversation starts sooner than expected, and a number gets named before any real thought has gone into it.
What to do instead?
If you are unprepared, delay the anchor.
Say I want to come back to numbers once I have a clear picture of the full scope.
Buy yourself time rather than plan to week for like.
The mistake:
walking back the anchor immediately when the other person reacts badly.
Why it happens?
The silence after naming a number feels unbearable, and their negative reaction triggers a rush to soften it.
What to do instead?
Expect the negative reaction. It is a normal part of the process.
Sit with the discomfort.
Repeat your rationale calmly if they push back. but do not abandon the anchor in the first 30 seconds. The mistake. Anchoring aggressively in a relationship with trust matters long term.
Why it happens. Tactics learned in one-off transactional negotiations get applied to ongoing partnerships. What to do instead? In relationships you want to preserve, anchor at the high end of the reasonable range, not beyond it. An aggressive anchor in a trusted relationship can feel like bad faith and require real repair work afterward. The bridge method for building working relationships after tension outlines how to do the repair when needed. For situations where you need to advocate for a position to someone who is not engaging openly, the value method for advocating with a manager who dismisses the problem gives you a structured approach. Adapting your anchor for remote negotiations. Most of what I have described above works the same whether you're sitting across a table or on a video call. But remote negotiations have one specific difference worth preparing for: the other person can hide their reaction more easily.
When you anchor in a room, you can read the body language.
You see whether they flinch, whether they pause, whether they reach for a pen. On a call, especially if video quality is poor or someone is on audio only, you get far less of that signal.
This means your judgment about whether your anchor has landed well or created damage relies almost entirely on what they say and how quickly they say it.
The correction is simple. After anchoring remotely, ask a calibrating question rather than sitting in silence. Does that give you a useful starting point for the conversation? This invites a response without softening your anchor, and the words they choose will tell you a great deal about whether your number landed in the plausible range or shocked them.
If they are engaging, your anchor is working.
If they are stalling, treat it as a signal to ask more questions before the next move. For conversations where a tense exchange through messages has preceded the real negotiation, how to write a tension-resolving message when switching from a heated text exchange to a richer channel can help you reset the tone before the numbers conversation begins. And if things have already broken down before the negotiation even starts, the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate and the recover method for when a conversation makes things worse are both worth having in your back pocket. Your anchoring checklist.
Take this into your next negotiation. Run through it before the conversation begins. Before you anchor.
Number 1. Have I identified my target number and my walkaway point?
Number 2. Have I researched the realistic market range for this agreement?
Number 3. Is my anchor above my target by enough to give me room to concede?
Number 4. Have I prepared a one-sentence rationale to attach to my anchor?
Number 5. Do I know more than the other side, or do I need their opening number to inform me?
During the negotiation.
Number 1. After I name my anchor, am I willing to go quiet and let them respond?
Number 2. If they anchor first, do I have a counter-anchor ready that is based on my research, not their number?
Number 3. Am I tracking whether my concessions are getting smaller each time?
Number 4. If they push back hard, can I restate my rationale without abandoning my position after the negotiation?
Number 1. Did I move more than I intended?
If so, at which point did I lose ground, and why?
This much I know for certain: the negotiators who do consistent work are not always the most aggressive.
They are the most prepared.
Run this checklist a dozen times, and the decisions inside the room will start to feel like habit rather than improvisation.
The right move is always the prepared one.
Anchoring in negotiation is not a single decision made in a single moment. It is a product of everything you did before you sat down.
The research, the range, the rationale,
the willingness to name your number clearly and let it stand.
There's courage in placing a strong anchor.
There's also wisdom in recognizing the moments when patience serves you better than speed. Learning the difference between those moments is what separates someone who negotiates competently from someone who negotiates well.
The process in this article will not make every negotiation go your way.
Nothing will. But it will mean you walk in with a clear position, anchor it with confidence, and never again let someone else's number become the center of gravity before you have had the chance to set your own. Frequently asked questions.
What is anchoring in negotiation?
Anchoring in negotiation is the practice of placing the first number or position on the table to pull the final agreement toward your side. The anchor acts as a reference point that shapes every offer and counteroffer that follows, even when both sides know it is happening.
Should you always anchor first in a negotiation?
Not always. You should anchor first when you've done your research, know your range, and hold more information than the other side.
Wait for them to anchor when you lack market data, when the relationship is fragile, or when their opening number might reveal useful information you do not yet have.
How do you set a strong anchor in negotiation?
Set a specific number rather than a round one.
A precise figure signals that you have done the work and arrived at that number deliberately. Back your anchor with a clear, brief rationale.
Place it calmly and without apology. Then go quiet and let the other person respond.
What happens if someone anchors against you first? Do not react immediately. Acknowledge the offer without accepting its frame. Restate your own position clearly and introduce a counter-anchor based on your own research. Never let their number become the invisible center of the negotiation without deliberately replacing it with one of your own. Can anchoring a negotiation damage the relationship? An aggressive anchor placed without context can create defensiveness. The repair is simple. Always attach a brief rationale to your anchor. This frames the number as reasoned rather than arbitrary, which the other person can engage with rather than simply reject. How far above your target should your anchor be? Far enough to give yourself room to make concessions, which the other person will expect. Not so far that you lose credibility. A useful rule, your anchor should sit at the edge of the plausible range, not outside it.
Outrageous anchors are easy to dismiss and weaken your position.
Thank you for listening.
If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way.
115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them.
Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.